everybody, and welcome to Gaza Guy podcast with me, Mal Musa from Gaza. With my guest today, Rosa Rad, I'm talking about feminism, freedom, hurdles that Muslim women face in the American community. Being Iranian American in the US in the current times, the definition of home, and what you have learned from her past relationships. Tune in, Gaza Guy from Gaza. Yeah, Rosa Rat. So I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today. I read your interview with Nasib Diaries. Really inspiring and motivating story. Shows the struggle of the Muslim women living in the American community. And nobody, guys, like have an idea about your lives and how you're dealing with all these struggles, with all these challenges, without spoken about it. But recently, I've had the chance to listen to many interviews, to read many interviews for Muslim women like you guys that reflect what they live, what they see in the American communities. Mm-hmm. So Rosa, this is Mal Musa, spoken word poet, journalist, and the host of Gaza Guy podcast. It's really an honor to have you on the podcast today. I will give you the chance now to introduce yourself to the listeners of Gaza Guy podcast.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Rosa Rad. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm Iranian-American. I currently work in the legal field, but my passion is more towards racial justice, social justice, and feminism. So that's just kind of a brief bio of who I am.
You mentioned feminism. If you could define feminism, Rosa, how would you define it?
Yeah, to me, it just is about choice. It means, obviously, it is meant to, you know, create a sense of equality amongst men and women. But I think beyond that, I think we need to work on dismantling patriarchy and other systems that oppress women, which is most systems that we operate under. And I think specifically to me, it means being liberated and being free in whatever way you want. So I think it's really important to recognize that choice is a really crucial part of feminism in terms of the way I interpret it.
To recognize how important freedom is for women in general.
Yeah, totally.
When we say free woman, when we say free, what do we mean by the word free?
I guess to me it just means being able to wear what I want, say what I want, work where I want. You know, I know a lot of times in tradition, in our tradition, we turn to men to kind of guide us towards careers or financial independence and things like that. But I think to me, it just means like being liberated on your own, whether that's financially, sexually, in terms of, you know, your mental health. I think it's just a matter of taking things into your own hands and not being, you know, put down by the systems that try to put us down so often.
Have you experienced something similar, like challenges you overcome in your life, like you mentioned, financially, sexually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it shows up in my life every day, I think, in different ways. I think there are so many challenges that women face and have overcome, obviously. I think we've definitely made progress in terms of women's rights and equality, but I think there's so much more that we need to kind of work towards and come to a common understanding on. Things like being able to walk home alone at night without being worried about, you know, being attacked for women. That's a common one. Literally, last week I was walking home alone and someone was following me and it was terrifying. And it's just kind of this thing where it's like, and it was terrifying. Pretty much. And it's just, it's not, to me, it's not even uncommon. Like this type of thing happens all the time to women I know, and it's just unfair that
someone that knows you or someone you
know? A stranger. This happens all the time to women. Like strangers follow women all the time. Like I feel like, or like make comments or just kind of create uncomfortable situations for women all the time. I think that's like a very common experience amongst women, and as far as the woman I know and as far as my experience, which obviously I can only speak to my experience, but just things like that, I think, that are daily challenges. I know
how you deal with the situation.
Oh, I was terrified. I ran to my car. Like, you know, I think for women, oftentimes it's so much about just like constant survival and having to be vigilant. And like, I think my dream, I don't want children, but if I were to have children, I would hope that they would be able to create a world, because I don't think our generation is able to do it. I think
to do what?
To overcome a lot of these kind of awful systems and types of culture and traditions that oppress women and have a negative and harmful impact.
Why not? Like, if our generation cannot overcome all those hurdles, all those challenges, how can we expect the next generation to overcome those
challenges? No, that's a good question. I guess my main concern is the generation before us. I think kind of working on them has become so challenging, and getting through to them is challenging. I'm lucky that I have very, very open-minded and progressive parents who are feminists and, you know, are very, very open to women having choices. And obviously we have three daughters, so they're, you know, have learned to be understanding about all of that. But in my experience, like I said, like I travel where I want, date who I want, work what I want. You know, I have my financial independence and my parents are very supportive, and I'm very grateful for that. But I know that's not the experience that all women have in our community and in a lot of other communities, honestly. I think that's another common misunderstanding, is that like Western culture or like American culture, Eurocentric cultures are
not suppressing women.
Yeah, are more progressive in some sense, but no, I don't think that's the case. I think like here in the U.S., we have so many. I mean, we don't even have equal pay here. Women recently earned the right to vote here. Rape culture is so prominent. Our media represents women in such a sexualized and objectified way. It's really just crazy that every country, every part of the world has to deal with this in its own way. And I don't think anyone is safe from it. Not even like the more quote unquote progressive, traditional, examples like Sweden or like Germany, where people usually turn to as examples of progressive countries. I think obviously they still have their problems.
So I was talking about identity, the understanding of identity. You are the product of two cultures, two countries, the Iranian culture and the American culture. You were born in the U.S.?
I was born in the U.K. and I moved to the U.S. with my family when I was 7. So I've lived here most of my life.
So you never went to Iran, right?
No, I've never visited. I mean, I do identify as Iranian. Like, if someone asks me where I'm from, I will say I'm Iranian. You know, I don't say I'm American, or I'll say I'm Iranian-American, but...
That's the question, you know, that's the confusion that you guys have. You, people see you as Iranian, but, like, you maybe to Iran or visited Iran or...
Right, yeah, and it's really complicated, I think, for a lot of people who have, like...
I know it is, but I want you to explain to me how...
Yeah, of course, yeah. No, I was just introducing the conversation. Don't worry, I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's really complicated, and I think it's something I struggle with daily. I think I do feel American in a lot of ways, but I do feel Iranian in a lot of ways, and I think it's hard to balance both cultures, especially as someone who's never been to Iran. It's really interesting to me that I can connect to this homeland or this like motherland that I haven't ever visited. Like, I've never touched that land, but I feel such a strong sense of connection to it. And I think that's in part due to the fact that my parents have been so good about ingraining the culture in us and teaching us about Iranian tradition and teaching us the language and things like that, just to make sure that we have an understanding of what our roots are and where we came from.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful that the parents still teach their kids about their cultures, like, because one day once they grow up like you right now, when people will ask you about your culture, you have that understanding who you are or where your parents came from. Not where, it doesn't mean that you didn't live there, that I have no idea what is
right.
It like.
Right, and I think that's something that confuses me sometimes, or is, you know, I understand it obviously internally, but I think sometimes I don't understand it. Like, sometimes I sit and wonder, like, how is it that I feel so connected to this land, this country that I've never visited? But it's just, it kind of goes to the idea of home and homeland being kind of
that's weird, because I was going to say the same words.
Right.
I was going to say this will take us to the definition of home. What is home? And ask you, and how do you define home?
No, I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. I think home is a sensation. I think it's a feeling. I think it's not so much physical. And I think a lot of people who live in the diaspora community, whether it's Iranian or from other countries whose parents or who themselves have immigrated to other parts of the world, I think you kind of start to understand that home doesn't mean, it's not four walls, it's not bound by borders. I think it's beyond physical. And I think that's definitely how I feel about home and homeland. It's still hard for me because I say all this, but I still feel like, wait, but I've never been. So it's funny. It's hard to internalize sometimes.
That's why people sometimes find it confusing when they are asked about the definition of home. Is it the place where you were born, but like you were born in the UK? Is it the place that my parents came from? Is it the place that I grew up in? So you have that confusion and that loss inside you of what is home, or what does it mean to you?
But and often when I travel, I think that's when I become most aware of it. Like, how? When people are like, oh, where are you from? Like, that's when I say, oh, I'm American. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, but I'm Iranian. But if I say I'm Iranian, they'll think I'm from Iraq.
Yeah, you say the American first because you feel more comfortable, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's more just because that is my physical home. Like, when I'm traveling and people are like, where did you come from? Or where are you visiting from? Like, or where are you from? I just kind of, I say I'm American, but then I explain further and I'm like, I'm American, but my parents are Iranian, you know? Identify as both. Yeah.
You mentioned the perceptions of what a woman should be or do in terms of traditions such as marriage and children and lifestyle. But I find the point is very wide. We divided into different points, into many points.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start from?
I mean, I think when I think about this subject, I think it is something I think about a lot because I don't think I necessarily want the things that tradition wants for women. Like, I think, but like, even thinking about like marriage or like a wedding or things like the expectation of women to like have a baby after they're married, a baby with another man, like, those are things that I think society imposes upon us, but I don't necessarily identify with those things. I don't know that I want to be married. I don't know if I believe in that concept. I think.
Do you think the society can understand this belief in you, like this freedom that you have, the freedom to, if I want to get married, I will get married. If I want to stay single, I'll stay single. How do you see the community react to women who see it in this way?
Mostly people are surprised. I think mostly people are condescending. People will often say like, oh, you're young, you probably don't want to get married yet, don't want kids now, but you might later. I know I don't want children. I don't ever want my body to undergo a pregnancy. I know that for a fact.
And that's if I change that's my, the reason that you don't want to have kids.
I think that's most of it. Also, it's just I can't even imagine having that type of responsibility, and I also would not want to share that with a man. And I don't think I've ever met anyone in my life who could be a viable father figure to a potential child. So I think that's why I've kind of pushed the idea out of my head. Maybe someday I will, and maybe I'll change my mind. I don't really imagine changing my mind. Who knows? Maybe in 5 years we'll do a follow-up interview and I'll be married with kids. But right now that's how I feel. I feel pretty strongly about it too.
I think you just believe this or think this in this way, or there are many women who think this in the same way?
I think women are conditioned to think that we need to follow, and I mean, not even just women, I think there are a lot of societal norms that we think we have to follow, and I think a lot of that is rooted in patriarchy. And I think, for example, like, you meet someone, you get engaged, you get married, the next step is buying a home, the next step is having a baby. Like, I don't think life is that rigid. I think there's so many ups and downs, and there's no one path anyone needs to take. And I think that confining people to that path, especially women, is so oppressive. I think that's a type of oppression. And I think once I was able to push
like
past
asking
that,
women, like forcing women to do this and that.
Yeah, and it's not even, it's crazy because it's not even like, no one is forcing anyone to get married here or forcing me to have a baby or anything like that. But
do you think they would ask Kama if he would believe in this or think in this way? Do you think they will argue him?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Like, if a man would think in this way, like, I want to stay single, I don't want to.
Oh, right.
Do you think they will judge him because of that?
I think I can see two things happening in a situation like that. One being that people would be very, very understanding and would be like, wow, that's great. I'm so glad he wants to be free and to travel and to do whatever he wants. Like, that's great. But I can also see other people saying like, oh, but don't you need like a woman to take care of you? Or there's just so much like responsibility that comes with being a woman, I think, or that's imposed upon women. And I think it's unfair. Like, I know a lot of times I hear, or in my own dating life, I've heard people say like, oh, you're so good for so-and-so, like a guy I've been talking to, or like, wow, I can see you really having a positive impact and changing and helping him. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, I'm not here to help anybody. I'm here to kind of live my own life. I don't mean I don't want to help people. That's a different topic. But I just mean, it's not my responsibility to raise a boyfriend or a partner. And I think oftentimes partnership becomes like that, which is frustrating. It's just a lot of responsibility. And I mean, even in relationships where I can see, like, you know, a man who I think, you know, someone who does think more progressively or does have more like feminist ideals, I still see so much more of the responsibility being placed on the woman. I think women just seem to carry so much more of the weight in relationships, and I don't want to put myself through that.
Yeah, you brought relationships, so you made me curious to ask you, what does love look like to you, Rosalie?
I think love to me is so much greater than our concept of romantic love. I think when people talk about love, we have been conditioned due to media and the images we've consumed and the TV and the movies we've watched growing up and the things you hear in school to believe that love is between a woman and a man and is something we should strive for. And if you don't have that, then you are somehow lacking or you're failing in some sense. But I am totally, totally, I have no partner. I'm completely single. But I have so much love in my life. I have love from my parents, from my siblings, from my friends, from my community. I have love from colleagues. I don't think love is should be, you know, confined to just like this concept of traditional partnership. which is oftentimes what it's reduced to. And to me, it's such a shame because love is such a beautiful thing I experience so many times a day in my life and all throughout my life. And it's sad to me that people think it just means partnership, dating, boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, it's how can you simplify something so beautiful such as love? Like, I am very grateful. I'm surrounded by love. Like, the people in my life are very loving.
You know, usually people, when they ask like about love, they know that love exists in family. They know that love exists in friendships.
Sure.
But when people talk about love, you know that I refer to relationships, to partnership.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. I haven't experienced that. So I honestly wouldn't know. Like, I haven't had an experience in a partnership where I maybe I thought I have, but I don't think I have. So
this will take us to the question, what have you learned from your past relationship?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think a summary of my relationships has led me to the conclusion of not wanting to date anymore, and has led me to this idea of just wanting to be single and to not get married and things like that. And I often do wonder if I had had more positive dating experiences, if I would be more inclined to marriage and towards, you know, having a child and building a family and things like that. But I haven't really had that, so I think that's what's been impacting my notion of love and dating moving forward.
You think it's right to judge our future relationships or our future dates maybe because of our past ones? Do you think it's right?
You know, I don't know if it's fair. That's a good point. I just think that it's human nature to operate based on your own experiences, you know? Like,
become a supporter of Gaza Guy podcast. You can support this podcast with a small donation to help sustain future episodes. Support Gaza Guy through anchor.fm/GazaGuy/support or visit our Instagram page Gaza Guy and click on the link in the bio. Gaza Guy from Gaza.